When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello, how are you? How is everybody? I hope you're well. I hope you had a good Valentine's Day. Maybe you spent it with a friend. Maybe you spent it with a lover. Maybe you spent it with a suitor who perhaps dropped the ball a little bit. Maybe you went through a breakup on the 15th. It's okay. It happens to the best of us. My worst Valentine's, actually, this wasn't like horrible, but just a little bit silly. It wasn't with somebody who did anything wrong, but I accidentally went on a first date on Valentine's Day. I was talking to a guy, I think on an app, and he asked me out, and he was like, what night works best for you? And I didn't realize that Valentine's Day was coming up, and I was just like, oh, you know, this Thursday is great for me. I'm free that night. I did not realize until the day of, when I woke up and I checked my little iPhone and I saw the date, I didn't realize that that was Valentine's Day. And then I commit to it, though. I commit to the bit. I go on the date. And I get there and he's like, I noticed you scheduled this for Valentine's Day. You trying to say something to me? And he could not be convinced otherwise. He could not be convinced that I was not trying to say something to him. And I'll tell you right now, I was not trying to say a goddamn thing. I didn't realize what date it was. So this is a lesson for future Valentine's Days. Around February, be careful about when you schedule a date because it can send the wrong message, make you look a little bit cuckoo crazy. Anyway, I'm feeling good. I had a yerba mate, so I feel great. If you have never had a yerba mate, which I am shocked how many people have not, you've got to try it. If you're into caffeine, and I consider myself very much somebody who's into caffeine, I have an extremely high tolerance to caffeine. I can take a 200 milligram caffeine pill, which is like 2 cups of coffee or something like that, and I can just take that and fall right back asleep. It's an incredible skill of mine. Is that somebody's going to tell me I have ADHD because of that? But yerba mate, it's a very highly caffeinated beverage, but it's tea. It's not coffee, because sometimes you go into that coffee and you think, this is going to give me energy. And then, plot twist, not only does it not give you energy, it makes you all nervous and jittery. And then you go, okay, here I am, no energy to be found, and on top of everything, now I'm scared. So I don't enjoy that experience, but yerba mate, oh, it's like Adderall in a bottle. You drink it and you just feel like you can accomplish anything. You feel like things have shifted and the world is now mine. And you don't get those jitters. I think it's because tea has L-theanine. L-theanine and caffeine, very popular, I don't know if it's pronounced nootropic or nootropic, but essentially people consider it like a smart drug when used in combination, or just caffeine itself. I used to be really into reading about those smart drugs because I was convinced that the problem with me was just that I like had brain fog that could be fixed by ordering some supplement off of some sketchy site on the internet. As it turns out, there was something wrong with me. But I thought I could solve it by reading about legal drugs on Reddit. Anyway, I also ran half a mile earlier. Big deal for me. The most I've ever run in my life was a mile. And that's when I was like at my most, I don't want to say most fit, but I was kind of walking and running around and frolicking the most. This was like during the pandemic. I would walk to Central Park and I would like walk for a little bit, run for a little bit, walk around the reservoir, read an audiobook or listen to an audiobook, I suppose. And then I finally, for the first time in my life, got to the point where I could run a full mile. And much like the time I got abs in quarantine, I reached that goal and then I was like, okay, over it. Never doing this again. What do I need to run a mile for? I am very much of the belief that there are just people who run and there are people who don't. And I don't even think it's a matter of like being fit or having a certain lifestyle. Because you know the experience when you see your friend post on their Instagram story and it's a screenshot of some sort of fitness app and they're showing that they like ran 12 miles in an hour and you're like, who is this person that I considered a friend? I'm just now finding out that this person, who I thought was a degenerate like the rest of us, they're going on runs. And it's never somebody you expect it from. Well, sometimes it is. But so much of the time, I see that and I'm like, I know this person. I've seen them wash down a box of frosted Pop-Tarts with bourbon. And now all of a sudden they're on a fitness journey? Or they've been on one and just never bothered to tell me? I will never be that person. I will never come out of the blue. I mean, obviously, I'm making an announcement right now. I'm drafting a press release that I ran half a mile. But I just think, honestly, I think it's a genetic thing. There are people who were meant to be running and there are people who just were not. I think it's a matter of who your ancestors were, and mine were probably pretty lazy. I think maybe while everybody else was out hunting and gathering, they were like sitting on the ground, crisscross applesauce, like playing with weeds or twisting blades of grass around in their fingers. Which is what I would do. Like in elementary school, remember when you used to have field days where it was just an entire day where you would be outside getting more sunburnt than you've ever been in your entire life, running around, doing those three-legged races where you and somebody else would put a leg in a potato sack and try to run. You would do that thing with that big rainbow circular thing where everybody would stand around in a circle and lift it up in the air and sit on it on the inside, and you would just be under this sort of tent. That was the fun part. The, like, little gimmicky thing that required no exercise whatsoever. That was my favorite. I think maybe that would be a good idea for, like, group therapy. Just to be under that fabric with a bunch of other people sharing your little secrets. Because I just think there would be such an understanding in that context of, like, nothing leaves this area. This area where we're all breathing in each other's particles. Once we're out of it, and once we're breathing fresh, uncontaminated air, it's over. Don't say a word. Mum's the word, as they say. I'm doing a mouth-zipping motion. Anyway, it's over, but happy Fashion Week anyway. To all who celebrate, I'm gonna do you guys a favor and not pretend like I was super busy this past Fashion Week. I'm not going to be one of those people, and some of them are telling the truth when they do this. I'm not going to be one of those people who's like, Fashion Week. Oh my God, I've just been running around like a chicken with its head cut off. Just running from place to place, show to show. After party after after party, all of which I was invited to. That is the case for some people who claim it to be. It isn't for many. It certainly was not the case for me. Two things about me. I am not booked, and I am not busy. I do kind of wish, of course, that I was like one of those influencers that's invited to everything. The thing about, I don't want to say being an influencer. I prefer like having followers on the internet. Influencing, that puts some pressure on me. Because I don't know if I'm a great influence. But the thing about that is that the people who are doing all the cool shit, they're either like fashion influencers, which I don't do. And I don't really understand how people do it. in New York unless they're super rich, because it's like, how do you have this bottomless wardrobe? You're making a Get Ready With Me video every day, and I've never seen you wear the same thing twice. Where is all this coming from? I mean, I'm sure some of it is, like, gifted and borrowed, but still, that's a lot of space you have to have. I don't do that. And I also the people who get all the good invites and the good PR are the ones who are, like, talking about products all the time, and I don't really want to do that. I'm not necessarily above it. But how much do I have to say about, like, I'm not going to review a foundation. Who the hell am I? I mean, I think probably also the reason I don't get as much of the perks is not just because I don't make content about that and I just make content of, like, me talking, but also I just talk a lot of shit. So I don't blame anyone for being like, we don't want this negative Nancy at our event. For what? So she can spread her bad vibes everywhere? So she can hit the open bar too hard? And start yelling. So maybe that's the case. I did go to one after party, which was not great. Like 40 minutes in, I just left. But not before, of course, not before I spent $25 on a drink. Classic. An $18 cocktail plus tip, which is fine sometimes. If it's a really nice place, two conditions, really nice place, really hard drink. Because the drink I had, they cut that hole in a Capri Sun and they squeezed it into a cocktail glass. I don't know what it was, but it was not a drink. I don't mind a more expensive drink if it's like a martini. Something substantial. By the way, I saw a very interesting video. One of my favorite people on TikTok, she makes videos about drinks, and she made a video, I believe, in response to somebody who was like, why are all the cocktail recipes I make, they're not filling up my glasses? And what she said, which was very interesting, was that a lot of these cocktail recipes were invented before these modern day glasses. So what we now use as a martini glass holds like a lot of liquor. And if you look at old movies when they're drinking martinis, they're drinking them out of these, like, tiny little goblets, holding them in between their two fingies. And that's the amount that, like, really is one drink's worth of a martini. So now, if you order a martini and it comes in a full modern-day martini glass, that's really, like, two drinks. I don't know why I didn't know that. Because if you've ever had a martini, you know it's more than one drink. You're well aware. I had to have known that it's at least two, or maybe one and a half for me. One three quarters, one and two thirds. I tend to spill a little bit. I spill gossip, and I spill drinks, baby. But I don't know about Fashion Week. All of my friends who worked it were like, it's not doing too hot this year. It's flopping a little bit. And maybe that's just a bit of a logical fallacy. I think we as people tend to think everything is getting worse all the time, which seems very true. I know it's not always true, but much of the time it feels about right. I think what's happening with fashion right now is that, like, all the big designers, they're either dying or they're getting exposed for being awful. So now it's a bit of a smaller pool. And it just feels like it isn't such a big thing anymore. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't work in fashion. I'm simply an observer. But it didn't seem to be a terribly exciting week. Speaking of style, I've made a radical choice in my life recently, which is that I currently have short nails. Now, for the past year or so, I've been doing gel extensions. I've been doing almond-shaped, medium to long length red nails pretty much all the time. And I think I reached a breaking point recently. Because I was out the other night, I was bar hopping, and two of my nails came off in one night. And I was like, I don't know if I can handle this life anymore. I don't know if this is for me. This is a lot for one girl to handle. Fixing two nails on my hand? So I decided to make the radical choice of ripping them all off and just painting my natural nails. And it's taken some getting used to. I don't know if I feel fully like myself. There's such a drama and there's such theatrics to having long nails. I could like talk with my nails. Some people talk with their hands. I was talking with my nails. Like when I was pointing at something, I wasn't pointing with my finger. I was pointing with that nail. And now that's gone. And all I have left are my fingers. But some things are easier now. I can do the dishes better. I can really scrub. I can really get in there. I can take out my contacts without worrying that I'm about to cause a medical emergency. I can type real fast, and I don't have to flatten my hands against the keyboard anymore. I can type real, real fast, which has always been a skill of mine. I have always wanted to be like an old school secretary, like that job that doesn't exist anymore because secretaries have to do things, and I just want to type really fast and wear a pencil skirt and heels and be like, somebody faxed you. Maybe I can't. Maybe that job actually does exist now, and maybe I'll find it by having short nails. Maybe I'm manifesting. Chance favors the prepared mind. Chance favors the prepared fingies. They're always saying that. So now I'm low maintenance. I'm chill. It's nice because less can go wrong when you're a little bit less high maintenance. Because the more effort you put into your appearance, kind of the more that can be the matter with it. A nail can pop off, an eyelash can get ripped off, extensions can show. But there is a certain glamour to that too, to being a bit disheveled, to having that run in your tights. Because then it says, yeah, I bothered to put on tights, that's right. But I'm too busy to bother to change them now that I've got a run in them. I have things to do. I have places to be. I have an itch on my leg that I have to scratch, despite the fact that I have a hangnail. That sort of indie sleaze aesthetic. But anything can be glamorous if you look at it in a certain light. I'll try to make these short nails glamorous. Right now, I'm getting used to them. I'll try to grow them out a little bit so I can at least tap on some stuff. See, that's not really doing it for me. But at least I'm a chill girl now. At least I'm chill. I don't know, I'm kind of scared. I feel like I might be becoming a bit of a minimalist, which I'm so against. But I think I need to steer a little bit in that direction. I won't overcorrect, but I'll perhaps correct a tad. Cut out some of the nail length. Cut out some of the unnecessary purchases. I was thinking about this earlier because I was looking at my iPad that I bought. You guys know, when you purchase a product from a little company that I like to call Apple, and then you bring it home from the Apple store and you go, why did I do that? What possessed me to do such a thing? Because in the past year, I mean, I've only bought two things, but still, in the past year, I bought an Apple Watch and an iPad. For what? What exactly? I mean, an Apple Watch, the thing about the Apple Watch, first of all, it's mostly for fitness. So I don't know what business I thought I had with it. But also, if you want to get anything from it, you got to wear it all the time. And then in that situation, you're wearing an Apple Watch all the time. You have to make it a part of every outfit, of every look. You have to swallow your pride and just wear that Apple Watch. And for what? So you can see what your heart rate is. You have full access to your heart rate. People don't realize this, but you can just put your fingies. We're talking a lot about fingies this ep. You just put your fingies on the side of your neck and you can count for a minute. And then you know. It is not worth wearing that thing all the time just to see how many calories you're burning. It's not worth it at all. Is that it? I want to Google. Hold on. I want to find out, like, what people are arguing in terms of why you should even buy an Apple Watch. Why was I even persuaded in the first place? Let me go, why to get an Apple Watch? Okay, here's something from Apple.com called Why Apple Watch? I've been wondering that myself. It's the ultimate device for a healthy life. I don't know if that's true. Is there any device that's the ultimate device for a healthy life? I feel like the healthiest life would be not wearing a device all the time. Like, sure, anything can do something healthy for your life. I can set notifications on my iPhone to tell me when to drink water. It's not going to erase all the damage that I've done to myself by having an iPhone. It's not going to wash out every ridiculous thing I've seen on Twitter.com. It's not a miracle worker. It is not a net positive, I would say. Apple Watch can do what your other devices can't because it's on your wrist. And that's the end of the sentence. That's terrible copy. It can do what your other devices can't because it's on your wrist. Why would that matter? You could put anything on your wrist. If you have strong enough medical tape, you could put anything on your wrist. The world is your oyster. When you wear it, you get a fitness partner that measures all the ways you move, meaningful health insights, and a connection to the people and things you care about most. Okay, great. All the people and things I care about most, my heart rate, and the notifications they send you being like, I see you haven't stood up today. What's going on? So rude. So I bought that, and then more recently, I bought an iPad. I spent hundreds of dollars on an iPad, which I think makes sense if you're, like, doing digital art. Because Procreate, I think, is the program that they use. It is a great program. I'm not doing digital art anymore. I dropped out of fashion design. Over it. What am I going to do on Procreate? Play tic-tac-toe with myself? Because the only point of an iPad really is, like, writing or drawing. And what everybody says is, you use it to take notes. But isn't the whole point of taking notes on some sort of device that you can, like, type it out, you can copy, you can paste, you can format, you can put it here, you can put it there? What's the point of handwriting on a little computer? I think I may have bought an iPad because I forgot about notebooks. Like, I truly forgot about the existence of a pen and paper, because what else is it for? I remember being at the Apple Store, the Fifth Avenue Apple Store, which, by the way, if you're ever in Central Park South and you need a bathroom, that's a great one. You can just walk on in. It's clean. It has the fancy hand dryers. It's great. But I was there getting that iPad, and the genius who was helping me was like, oh, what are you going to use this for? And I don't even know what I said to her, but I remember when I was leaving with it, she goes, have fun with your new toy. If you're an adult and you're purchasing something and the person selling it to you says, have fun with your new toy, that is not something that you need to be purchasing. If you leave a store and somebody's like, enjoy playing with that, maybe go return it. But it's just, Apple loves to tell you that those products will change your life. They don't really tell you why. And I didn't even really question it. Although, to be fair, basically every purchase I've ever made, I made specifically because I was convinced that it was going to change my life. Like, I don't just buy things being like, I'd like this right now. I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy this sandwich right now, and then it's going to make me feel better, and then I'm going to create an incredible work of art, and I'm going to change the course of humanity forever. Like, that is the way I think. I have been brainwashed. Like, everything I buy, I'm like, this black blazer, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to turn into a businesswoman. And then I proceed to not, over and over and over again. Should I sell my iPad? Who wants my iPad? Once I bought a computer on Craigslist, and I met the guy. I, like, went uptown to meet the guy to buy it off of him. And he had me meet him at, like, this outdoor restaurant. And then after I bought it, he was like, come stay. Come stay for a drink. Maybe I should have said yes. Probably I just said no because he wasn't my type. That would be, like, a fun story to tell at a wedding. Like, if I married him. Not just any wedding. If I married him, specifically. We met on Craigslist. That's almost a meet cute. What's funny about, like, meet cutes is they never happen with somebody that you're like actually attracted to or that you want to date. Like when you drop something in the street and you lean down to get it and then you see somebody else's hands reach for it for you, you always look up and you're like, pass. Not that they necessarily want me. They're just picking something up, but most likely. Let's be honest. That's always the way that you meet people who you don't want to date. And then when you meet somebody who you actually want to date, it's like you're out buying deli meat or something. Like nothing glamorous. Anyway, I want to talk about Roseanne Barr. Okay? Shall we? I would like to discuss the comedian Roseanne Barr, because she's made a bit of a return recently. For those who aren't familiar, because I know some of you are young, I get DMs sometimes that are like, I'm in 10th grade. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a terrible influence. But for those who are too young to be familiar with Roseanne Barr, she was a comedian, had a very successful sitcom. She, in my mind, what I most remember her for was being in She-Devil with Meryl Streep, which is such a good movie. If you haven't watched it, you have got to watch it. Meryl Streep plays, I mean, I guess this isn't a spoiler because it's the premise of the movie. She plays a bit of a man-stealer. She steals a man from Roseanne Barr. Not a particularly good-looking one, but whatever. Meryl Streep is like this romance author based on a real one in real life who like lives in this pink palace and it's stunning and there are beautiful decadent pink curtains everywhere. It's such an underrated movie. But anyway, Roseanne Barr. She's attempting to make a bit of a comeback because if you'll recall, I think her show was canceled because she had an incident where she tweeted something very racist and then came back and was like, oh, sorry, guys, I was on Ambien. And a lot of people pointed out Ambien doesn't really make you racist. Like, that's not a known side effect. The people I know who have taken Ambien, what I've heard is that it makes you online shop. Like, they're not tweeting offensive things. They're buying disco balls on Amazon.com. But she's come out with this new special. It's on Fox Nation, okay? A comedy special produced by Fox News, which is the most hilarious part of all of it. The actual special, I haven't watched the entire thing. But from what I've seen of the actual special, I would say not quite as funny as just the concept of having a comedy special on Fox Nation. And it's called, wait for it, Cancel This. Cancel this, bitch. I'm on Fox Nation. I'm back and I've made it. I'm living everybody's dream. But this is one of those specials that's like, this is kind of a theme recently. It's like, they didn't win, I'm back. Like Aziz did. Although I guess he wasn't quite as crass about it. But by the way, and I may have said this before, but the whole Aziz thing with that article that came out with the woman who went on a date with him and he was really creepy, when that came out, everybody was like, oh, this is nothing. This is just somebody trying to get their 15 minutes of fame. Because what happened was everybody was like skimming the article looking for something really awful and violent, and they didn't find that. So they were like, oh, it's fine that he did that. Like, I don't think I really read it at the time, but I was like, okay, that's the consensus. I went back and read it recently. It's bad. Like, it is hard to read. It is not a little, oh, he said something kind of weird on a date. It's like, oh, this is not okay. But Aziz did a comeback special, and he didn't really do the whole, like, cancel culture tried to get me, but here I am. And that doesn't really work when you've really fucked up. If you've, like, actually done something that's not okay, you can't really come back and be like, they tried to get me. It was a witch hunt. Like, okay, well, bitch, you're a witch. And they gotcha. Especially, I think Roseanne apologized. I think she specifically said, like, I did something unforgivable. I don't even want anybody defending me. Girl, you can't go and now make a cancel this special. It's too late for that. Either you care or you don't. But anyway, here's the special based on, I've seen a handful of clips. She comes out, she's wearing a Canadian tuxedo. It's a deeply confusing outfit. She's wearing a Canadian tuxedo with like a necklace that goes down to her crotch. The crowd is a bunch of 70-year-olds in button-downs. Like a real geriatric crowd. Not a fun, not like, ooh, we're at a Steely Dan concert. But like, oh, we're at a Fox Nation special taping. First of all, before you even get to like the cancel culture, one of the things that she mentioned several times, and this is so weird, but it's also such a boomer thing. She's like, my kids are ungrateful little brats. Okay. That is literally, that is probably the female version of like, my wife. That wife comedy. Because you chose to marry your wife, and you chose to have kids, and you chose to raise them the way that you did. Probably, she's rich, she's famous, she's probably given them a bunch of shit. What do you expect? And why have kids if you're going to talk about them like that? Of course they're spoiled. Who spoiled them? Could it be the rich celebrity who raised them? Like, people always like to say that and then act like it's a generational thing. There are grateful, nice people in any generation. Either you're just being rude about your kids, or your kids kind of suck. And whose fault is that? Maybe it's partially, like, God's plan. God was like, I'm going to make these two into little brats. But I think it's also kind of on you. But then, of course, Roseanne proceeds to go. Can we guess what direction she's going in the cancel this special? She's going, these people with gender, these people, they don't even know what a woman is. And this is, here's the kicker. She goes, I'll tell you what a woman is. A woman is me. And then the crowd cheers for some reason. Like, I don't even know what that means. A woman is me. And then she goes, a woman is me. Someone who cleans up everyone's shit. And somebody who has boobs down to her knees. And a collapsed uterus because she gave birth to a bunch of spoiled brats. Well, I guess I'm not a woman because I have perky breasts. Lock me up. And of course she goes, I'll tell you what my pronouns are. My pronouns are kiss my ass. And then the crowd claps and cheers and whistles and stomps. You know how it is. Oh, it's so tired. Oh, it's so tired. What I'm kind of curious about with these people, and I don't mean that, I feel like this could come across wrong, because I don't want to sound like, I don't want to direct their hate in a different direction. I am just curious, like, why do they only talk about trans women? Isn't that weird? I just can't come up with, like, an explanation for that. Do they just not know about the existence of trans men? Not to say, like, you know, go after them. But why, just something about being a trans woman in particular, I just wonder why that is. I literally think maybe they don't know that people can be male and trans. I just think they're not aware. I don't think they know anything. I mean, she, of course, is like, these people have no grasp on reality. Not to say that Gen Z does have a grasp on reality, but I'm talking about with this specific topic. You're the one who isn't living in real life because being trans was not invented on the internet. Like, I don't think Roseanne knows this. It isn't a new thing. You just live in a bubble. You just weren't invited to the right parties if you didn't know that people were trans. They've been trans. Amanda Lepore? Candy Darling? They've been around. I just hate to see what's happening with comedy. It's such a tragedy. And it's not just about doing, like, edgy comedy, because I like a lot of edgy comedy, not where the punchlines are just like, my pronouns are go fuck yourself. But I like some edgier stuff. There are people like Bill Burr, Joan Rivers, People who I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the things they say, but they certainly have talent. The thing about these new, like, right-wing comedians, they don't even have talent. The nerve to spread all this hate for what? Another pronoun joke? Because the world doesn't have enough of that. I'm a big Anthony Jeselnik fan, as you may know. I love Anthony Jeselnik, and I love the way that he talks about, like, edgy humor and cancel culture. Because he does, like, a lot of very edgy jokes. But people always ask him about cancel culture, and he's like, I like that it's harder now. I like that challenge as a comedian to get away with it. Because anyone can just get on a stage and make a joke about something terrible, but can you actually make people laugh and not just make them uncomfortable? That's the question. I remember hearing him quote one time, art is getting away with it, I think from Andy Warhol. And I like wrote that down in my journal. I love that quote. Anybody can make a joke about pronouns, but can you make one that actually has a punchline? It's not just punching down. So anyway, that's just my recommendation. Check out Roseanne Barr's new special, Cancel This, on Fox Nation. Imagine if that was just an ad read. Who's ringing my doorbell? What do they have to say to me? That's probably just a package I won't answer. Let's get into a couple advice questions, shall we? Okay. What to do when you hate your best friend's boyfriend? Baby, this is such a big part of life. They don't warn you about this. When you meet a new friend, nobody comes down from the heavens and tells you she's going to be dating a guy who doesn't own toothpaste. But it happens. It's happened to all of us watching our friends, and it's happened to probably all of our friends watching us. And here's the thing. You can't make them break up, which is tragic. You can try. It's not going to work. Maybe just for the fun of it, you can try. The unfortunate thing is, sometimes that makes it worse. And I am very much the one, I am like, day one, let's get this man out of your life. What's the escape plan? Like, I am ready to torpedo somebody else's relationship immediately. But sometimes your friend hears that and she's like, oh, the world is against us. This is a little forbidden love. Honey, sometimes love is forbidden for a reason. Sometimes people forbade for a good goddamn reason. Like Romeo and Juliet, that was forbidden love. And look how that ended. Hilariously, granted. Very funny plot. Don't you love that one English teacher you had in high school who was like, as if he was blowing your mind. Oh, I had this one English teacher in high school who was so condescending. And I remember him telling us, as if we were receiving, like, the most radical news of our entire lives. He was like, Romeo and Juliet, actually a comedy. Yeah. A play where a guy thinks his girlfriend is dead, so he kills himself. And then she sees that he's dead, and then she kills herself? Honey, you don't have to let me know that that's a hilarious situation. I have eyes and I have ears. Okay? So that can happen sometimes. When you try to break up your friend's relationship, there might be poison to be drank. But I still think, let your friend know. And I'm assuming this is like a woman dating a man. I know Roseanne Barr would love that I'm assuming that. I would say tell your friend right away that you do not approve. You don't have to keep telling her every single time she brings him up, but tell her soon. Because you don't want to be that friend. You ever break up with somebody and then your friends are like, oh, he was awful. Bitch, couldn't have let me know? You didn't care to alert me? Tell her you don't like him. Cite your sources. Tell her why, if you have good reason. Otherwise, she's just going to be like, oh, they're jealous of me. Isn't that funny when somebody's like, my friend doesn't approve of my terrible relationship, they're jealous. Girl, I would like to meet the person who sees their friend in a happy relationship and is like, I am so jealous of her, I've decided to break them up. That's a Desperate Housewives plot. That's not, I mean, maybe I just haven't met the person who does that, but I don't believe that people do that. That's ridiculous. If your friends don't like your partner, it's probably for a reason. They aren't always haters. And I would say after that, the only thing you can do is set some boundaries. All you can really say is like, hey, I don't want him around. If we're going out girls' night, I don't want Greg there. I want to have fun. I don't want to see Greg doing blow in the bathroom and then talking my ear off about that philosophy class he took once. I don't care for that. If you're coming over to watch a movie, I don't want that man trailing behind you ready to suggest that we watch something from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Keep him at home. Locked in a cage. So, best of luck. Sticky situation. Somebody else wants to know, they put two separate things in, wanting to not be a person and wanting to disappear. Okay? Of course. I regularly think about just like pulling a Jeffree Star, moving to Montana, and selling moose meat or whatever it is he does. Like sometimes, ooh, like it's just hard to handle life and all the things that come with it. You just want to sink into the floor and like let it absorb you and just kind of live in that structure with the termites. Hopefully you don't have termites. Maybe that's why you want to disappear. You could disappear. That's an option. But the thing is, it never helps. It never helps trying to avoid everything, trying to avoid being a person. It never works. And you sure can try. You can try as long and as hard as you like, but it never quite works out. Sometimes I try to be like, I'm taking a mental health day. I'm just feeling overwhelmed and taking a mental health day. I'm going to take some time off. And then what do? Sleep all day? Avoid everything? Make everything work? Like, I keep doing that sort of thing. That's why I need a mental health day in the first place. My mental health day should be chugging 3 yerba mates and then doing my laundry and my taxes. That would actually help my mental health, not sitting around lighting a candle. So what I would actually recommend, if you can't handle being yourself, create a little bit of an alter ego, right? Let them handle it, because then you can kind of step outside of yourself for a little while and be like, okay, I'm going to let this other person handle it. I have 2 alter egos, and my regular self is sort of in between these 2 people. One of them, her name is Molly, and I step into her when I'm feeling more vulnerable. I need to express that side of myself. I need to almost be childlike. Molly wears like big sweaters that go, like the sleeves are too long, sort of the Ariana Grande effect. By the way, this isn't in reality. I don't have any sweaters like that. But she also has blunt bangs. She opens her eyes real wide. And she kind of, they water a lot and she blinks a lot. She doesn't wear makeup. She sits on a chair. The way she sits on a chair is like her feet are, her knees are up to her chest. She's kind of hugging herself wrapped in a ball. So that's Molly. For when I need to express my more vulnerable side and I'm like, oh, Serena can't do that. And then my other alter ego, when I need to, this is a bit of a dated term, but be a bit of a girl boss. When I need to step up to the plate and be a little bit ruthless, perhaps even a bit of a man-eater, I turn into, her name is Veronica Novak. And you better believe that Veronica is spelled with a K. She is, if you can't tell by the name, basically out of a noir movie. She wears her hair over her eye like Veronica Lake. She sometimes wears a veil. She slinks around and throws herself onto circular beds. She may or may not have killed somebody. We're not sure. There's really no evidence, but sometimes she sneaks down a long corridor and takes a call. And you hear a little bit of that call, and you think, that sounds rather suspicious. But you never bring it up to her because she's very intimidating. So, you can take my alter egos as well. If those speak to you, slip into a little bit of Molly. I'm not saying roll on Molly. Especially if you're on SSRIs, you can get serotonin syndrome. But maybe embrace your inner Molly or your inner Veronica Novak and let your actual self have a bit of a break. And also just do new stuff. Just do new stuff. You want to disappear? Just disappear from your daily routine. Spice it up a little bit. Go to a gallery. Eat a croissant. Do a Rubik's Cube. That's an escape, but it's an escape where you're actually doing something and you're not just avoiding being alive. So I hope that helps. I feel like that was brilliant advice. I kind of feel like I just outdid myself with that one. But my media of the week, if I'm being honest and if I'm being vulnerable, the media I've been consuming the most this week is clips from the Wendy Williams show. Okay? That's my life and that's my truth. And I regret not going to see her. When I went to FIT and the show was still on, I could have just gone around the block to see Wendy Williams, and I didn't, because I thought it would go on forever. Isn't there a quote from a book that's like, my only regret was how much I believed in the future? I'm pretty sure that's a quote from like a book where something really tragic happens, but for me, like, that tragedy was not seeing Wendy Williams live. Ugh. And I know she says terrible things. I'm absolutely aware of the fact that she has said terrible things about people, but can I just say, in her defense, at least she's open about it. At least she's not Ellen DeGeneres, behind the scenes, throwing ninja stars at her interns, and then skipping out and dancing. That's true evil, because that's the devil in disguise. The devil disguised as a woman who wants to do a little jig with the cast of Modern Family. Ugh. Send shivers down my spine. Also, Ellen, she had to rely on all this extra shit. The Wendy Williams show? Like, it's really just Wendy. She doesn't feel the need to do crazy stuff all the time and bring everybody into it. It's a lot of just her sitting and talking. And that's what I like. And she's so funny. She's also like, she's not afraid of silence. Like, if you really watch a clip from Wendy Williams, she will sit there, she'll sip her tea, she'll think of what she wants to say next. And I really appreciate that about her. I think the funniest people are the ones who, like, aren't afraid of silence. There's power in that. I read once that if you're, like, on the phone with somebody, or I guess maybe this works in real life, I don't know, I'm not a business person, but if you're, like, on the phone with somebody and they're offering you, like, a business deal, and they say something, they give you an offer you don't like, you're supposed to just sit there in silence, twiddling your thumbs. And then they're going to be so uncomfortable with the silence that they're either going to try to justify it or be like, actually, there's some wiggle room. Like, there's something very powerful about being silent. Taking a moment of silence. I love how I'm saying this on the podcast where I talk to myself for an hour a week. But you know what I mean. This is all in theory. I'm not saying I practice this. And nobody's calling me with deals anyway, so what does it matter? I also love the segment Ask Wendy. Very underrated Wendy Williams segment. It's a lot of, somebody will stand up and be like, my boyfriend is acting suspicious. Should I follow him around in a van? And Wendy will go, yeah. Yeah. She loves a two-syllable yeah. And she will endorse shit like that, absolutely. My favorite clip, however, from Ask Wendy, my favorite thing possibly she's ever said, this guy stands up and he goes, I'm 49, my girlfriend's 25, there are all these naysayers about our relationship who are saying that our age gap is going to be a problem, how can I shut them up? And Wendy goes, all right, First, make sure that you take the lollipop out of her mouth. Oh, she's brilliant. I hope she's doing well. Maybe I'll Google later, see if there are any updates. I really wish the best for her. I know she has said terrible things, but nobody deserves addiction. But that's all for now, folks. Thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.